Keely, Ellen Band. I must say, I think I've put them through quite a lot of this last week. I'm forcing a few different songs on them, so I really appreciate you kind of humouring me in that way. You know, yet not I, but through Christ in me. It kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Is that, you know, we play our part, you know, we plant the seeds, we seek to serve, and yet it's not me, it's not you, but it's through Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I got a bit of a tickly cough now. So the question, if we can have the PowerPoint, if I remember, I've forgotten the clicker. Can I use a clicker, or if you have one? Don't worry if you haven't, it's kind of fairly, yeah, we can just go with the flow. So the question, yeah, how should we think about the nations? How should we think about the nations as a local church in God's global economy, as we reflect on the words, the words that the Lord gave to Habakkuk, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. It's an enormous vision, isn't it? That the world may be filled with the knowledge and the glory of God. And this is his mandate for his creation. That every corner of the planet may be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God that is found in Christ Jesus, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That's the mission of God's people, that the earth may be filled with his glory. And how does this happen? Well, we have creation, the beauty of creation, and we see that floods the parts of creation where human beings don't even have privilege to actually get to. We see this in the universe of stars that we would never, ever see, that are just enormous, that display the beauty and this grandeur and the glory of God. And yet, when we think of the different peoples around the world and how this takes place, it only happens when men and women and children enter into a living, worshipping relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and lives are transformed as we reflect his glory. And so as a community of God's people, as the church, as we engage in our thinking with mission, and we engage in mission because it is his mission, in order that his glory may fill the earth. Just a quick quote from John Piper. If you've never read any of John Piper's stuff, it's worth reading. He has a blog out there as well. And this is from a book, Let the Nations Be Glad. And it's a pithy kind of, it's a pithy quote. It says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. In other words, we engage in missions because it is people. We have the desire and a passion to see God's glory reach the ends of the earth. And so the question comes back to us, how should we think about the nations? More specifically, how should we think about what role we play when thinking about the nations? A number of years ago, I was at a Salt and Light conference. I think you were there, Paul, probably a number of us were there. And George Verwer was speaking. If anyone knows who George Verwer is, founder of Operation Mobilization. And it came to Q&A time. There's OM fans here. So it came to Q&A time with George. And one young chap, I think he must have been in his 30s. Yep, people under 30 aren't thinking that's not young. But to me, he looked young. And in his 30s, and he asked George a question. He says, he remembers, a number of years ago, George, you said that if we hadn't been called to go, or should I say, if we hadn't been called to stay, then we should go. It's kind of a bit of a reflection on what a singer-songwriter called Keith Green said in the 1980s. You know, if we're not called to stay, then we should go. And this question was posed to George Verwer. And his response, I don't know, it kind of tickled me. He says, is that really what I said? He said. Well, I've kind of changed my mind now, because I no longer actually think that. And I did feel sorry for this young chap who'd posed the question, because really he was looking for that opportunity to go and serve overseas, because he didn't particularly felt called to actually stay. So therefore, he must be called to go. And so, that's not what he was thinking about anymore. So how should we think about the nations when we think of where we are in our own context? Because the reality is, the primary mission and the primary responsibility of the local church is to be a witness and salt and light where we are planted. Here in Bilton, the neighbours we are living next to, if we have the next slide up, that'd be great. You know, our own circles of influence, neighbours, family, friends, colleagues. You know, it's no accident where the Lord has placed us. You know, if we believe that God is sovereign over all, then he's sovereign in the places where we live and where we work, the people that we mix with and our families. It's where God has put us to be a blessing and plant those mustard seeds, no matter how insignificant we may feel they are. We plant mustard seeds with our friends and our neighbours. The Lord blesses us so that we should be a blessing. And for most of us, that's our mission field. You know, I don't think this is an arrogant statement that I'm just about to make. But I don't think our neighbours fully realise how blessed they are to be in such close proximity to us. Say that again. I don't think our neighbours realise how blessed they are to live in such close proximity to us. So what am I saying? For millions of people throughout the world, they don't live within 100 miles of anyone who can tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Millions of people haven't got a clue who Jesus is. Millions of people don't live down the road from a local church. Millions of people don't have colleagues who are Christians. And millions of people don't have the opportunity, like our neighbours and our friends and our colleagues, to be able to scrutinise how we live for Christ. And I don't think many of them realise how close to the kingdom of heaven is, when we think of our neighbours. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And every interaction we have with another human being who is outside of Christ, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it makes us look at things in a very different way, doesn't it? When we see those millions around the world that don't have that contact, and we find ourselves, each of us, in this position. So how should we think about the nations? And I'd like to make a bit of a suggestion that as much as we must be intentional about reaching those around us, praying for our neighbours, acts of kindness, yeah, opportunity to talk to our neighbours about our faith as we plant those mustard seeds. And if we're honest, the mustard seed seems insignificant when we see it, doesn't it? It's tiny. And sometimes when we actually kind of talk a little bit about our faith, it feels like that mustard seed, doesn't it? Insignificant, rather pointless. And yet, we may sow, someone else may water, but it's God that makes the growth. And as much as we must be intentional about reaching out to our neighbour, so we must be intentional about reaching the nations for Christ. I don't know about you, but when you're making decisions, how do you think when you have two choices? Often we think in terms of it's an either or. It's either this or it's that. But often when we actually look at Scripture, it's not an either or, but it's actually a both and, functioning simultaneously. You know, we are called to serve where we are, yes. But as the body of Christ, locally, we are called to engage with what God is doing globally. You know, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And this is the scope, the full scope of the church's mission. We are church here in Bilton, but we're also part of the church worldwide, an enormous family. Now, Ray has already kind of touched on it a little bit, and it's always good to actually have some statistics, isn't it? Who likes statistics here? Who hates statistics? Well, I can just apologize, and I'm sorry. But Ray's already alluded to it, and it's true that in the space of a relatively short space of time, there has been a dramatic shift geographically in the global church. And this is how rapidly it's taken place. Around the start of the 20th century, approximately 90% of the world's Christians came from the West, or the global North, Europe, the US. In just a space of around 100 years, The shift has been dramatic. In the 21st century, 75% of the world's Christians live in the global South, Latin America, Southern Africa, Asia Pacific. And if you're better with kind of images, and if you could pop the next slide up, well, next one. That gives you an idea. So it's pretty small print, but the actual green is where the church has just mushroomed. The yellow represents more nominalism, and the red represents the 40% of the world's population that are still living outside of Christ. Yeah, such as the global impact been in what has terminated in modern missions is just phenomenal, isn't it? And so the accusation of missions, I mean, we working in missions, some of the kind of accusations you get accused of, and one of them is cultural imperialism. And that really isn't the case, or it's certainly not the case anymore. Because Latin America is one of the largest sending mission nations in the world. Korea sent thousands of missionaries around the world. Southern Africa is sending missionaries around the world. It's phenomenal. It's not a matter of us to them. It's now a matter of from anywhere to everywhere. Yeah, the shape of world missions has changed beyond recognition. You know, I think of the team that we have in Ghana. I work for an organization called SIM. And in Ghana, we have missionaries from the UK. We have missionaries from the US. We have missionaries from Korea. And we have missionaries from Ethiopia. Working in those harsh places in the north of the country to reach those people groups that have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, we very much work in international, multicultural teams. There's a phenomenal richness when we see what is happening around the world in global missions. But what does that mean for us? And how, as a local church, should we think about the nations? With this kind of multi-directional mission, does it mean that, you know, we're kind of off the hook a little bit? Yeah, others are actually doing the task now, so that was a close one. Yeah, the task clearly isn't finished. With 40% of the world's population still unengaged. No church, no missionary working amongst them. Admittedly, these places are some of the harshest places to actually reach out. And sometimes it's the Latinos which are far better placed. But does it let us off the hook? This is something I often used to think about when we lived in the north of Burkina. And we would see missionaries coming from different parts of the world, and there was just a dwindling trickle that were going from the likes of the UK and Europe. And I remember asking God and saying, "Yeah, Lord, as the time of global missions finished for the church in traditional sending countries?" And it's an important question, isn't it? You know, has a time of missions kind of come to an end, and now we need to kind of hand it on to somebody else? Yeah, we talk about, well, God used you then, now God is using this other people now. And there was something within me that kind of felt quite uncomfortable about that, to be honest. And over the kind of years, I've come to a conclusion. And I'm going to put that conclusion on hold for a moment. And I would like us to just very briefly look at the book of Revelation, one of my favorite books, and I want us to look at Revelation. So you're kind of thinking, you're only just getting onto the Bible verse, and look at the time mark, come on. I do apologize. It's going to be brief. It's going to be brief. But Revelation 7, 9 to 12. Revelation 7, 9 to 12. And this kind of comes on the back where John sees this vision of the shape of Christ's return. And he's just looked at, he's just mentioned this 144,000 is the completeness of the tribes. No, not, none of them are missing. The remnant are all there. And then he goes on to this other group. And he says, after this, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And you got to come to the conclusion that the actual task that the Lord has set for his people will be completed. That is, without a shadow of a doubt, that is going to take place. That's the agenda. We can move on to the next slide. The agenda of the Lord's is without question when thinking about the nations. And the conclusion that I came to is that, do we have the appetite for God's mission to the nations? And I do get it. For the majority of us, the Lord does not call us to serve in far off places in the mission field. But for some, he does. Yet the Lord may not call us to far off places in the mission field, but he does call the local church to engage. And what that looks like is something that as a church we continue to need to work out. We have to keep it on the church's radar. You know, this isn't a side issue. This isn't just something for an interest group within the church, like kind of cycling or a games club and things like that. This is the mandate of the church, that his glory would fill fill the nations, the ends of the earth. You know, I have the absolute privilege of working and walking with people from very different backgrounds, you know, very different ages, you know, from university graduates to retirees and everything else in the middle, looking to serve the Lord in some far-off, difficult places. We have to be engaged in missions. So I want to kind of finish, really, of where I started. If we can move the slide forward a little. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. And it's out of that place of worship. Not in the narrowest sense of singing. Singing along to kind of music in the car, and as edifying, as important as that is, but the kind of worship that Paul talks about in Romans 12, of lives laid down, living sacrifices, submitted to the Lordship of Christ in every area of our lives. Some are called to go. The rest of us are called to send. And to pray and engage and partner with what God is doing in the world. I'm going to ask, just as closing, the time has pretty much gone. But I want to kind of close by singing the first song, or part of the first song that we start with. All peoples that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Serve him with joy, his praises tell. Come now before him and rejoice. We're a worshipping community, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're a called community. We are a sent community, so that his glory may fill the whole of creation.